Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the CX Goalkeeper podcast. Your host, Greg, will have smart discussions with friends, experts, and thought leaders on customer experience, transformation, and leadership. Please follow this podcast on your preferred platform. I am sure you will enjoy the next episode with the guest I selected for you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the CX Goalkeeper podcast. Today, I am really thrilled to have Mark Slatin on my podcast because it's a recurring guest and I'm super happy that you accepted this invitation again. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Hey, Greg. Thank you so much for having me. It's such an honor and a privilege to be back on your show.
It's great. And then really, let's kick off our discussion because I am following you on LinkedIn. I saw the growth of your podcast, all what you did in the last few months, few years, also with your masterclass and teaching at university and so on. And therefore, really, let's kick off this discussion. But before we start deep diving into customer experience topics, let's learn more about you. Mark, could you please introduce yourself?
Sure. Mark Slatin. I am a CCXP, a Certified Customer Experience Professional. I live in Lewis, a small town called Lewis, Delaware, on the east coast of the U.S., and I am a consultant who started a consulting business after working and leading and launching a CX practice at a bank in the Mid-Atlantic, and now, as you mentioned, I'm on the faculty of Michigan State University, who has the first Master's of Science degree program in customer experience management. Really honored to be part of the faculty there, teaching in a 20-month, 15-class program. I also have a podcast, as you mentioned, called the Delighted Customers Podcast. And really what I focus on, most of my efforts are on the Trusted Guide Roadmap Masterclass that I offer 4 times a year.
Thank you very much for this introduction. And to the audience, as usual, you will find all this information also in the show notes with the links to what Mark shared with us. Which values drive you in life?
So I talk a lot about trust and becoming trustworthy. And I think that's probably the overriding one, that value in terms of customer experience. I am motivated by customer experience management because I believe that the experiences that we have, whether it's a hospital, whether it's a business, whether it's a government agency, I really do believe those have a huge impact and a ripple effect on our lives. And if you think about the experience you have just going to the cafe, whether it's good or bad, it could change the trajectory of your day. And then that affects others around you. So I believe what we do is a really, really big deal.
Thank you very much. And I think this is also very linked to what we are doing in the customer experience field, building relationship with our customer. But now let's kick off the game and start discussing about this fascinating topic. What do you see as the biggest challenge for CX leaders?
So for me, it keeps coming back to this one thing. We've done research. I was on the board of the Customer Experience Professionals Association. I remember we got presented with some research of CXPA members. And the overriding number one was getting executive buy-in. And I've seen that over and over again as the number one issue for CX leaders.
I think this is also a topic that we are all facing as soon as we are working in corporates. Do you see this as a new phenomenon or something that's lasting since years? What's your view on that?
Yeah, Greg, I think it's really been an evolution. I think when CX started to become a discipline, a formal discipline, maybe 12 to 15 years ago, somewhere in that range, it was a shiny new object in a lot of ways. And companies like Zappos and Amazon and Ritz, Apple, Intuit and Fidelity, USAA, these are companies that were performing really well, but also gave a lot of attention and focus to customer experience. So other companies, banks, insurance companies, what have you, have all followed suit. They got on the bandwagon and they started to install CX departments, CX teams, looking for leaders. And I think the evolution now is like any other part of an organization, any department competing for energy, resources, dollars. CX you know, we came in as a stepchild. We were not a non-negotiable department. We were the new thing. And the honeymoon period for most organizations, or at least for the industry, maybe not true in your organization, but I think for the industry, the honeymoon period is now over. And CEOs and C-suite leaders have focused their attention on other things. So we've seen, I think, to me, from industry-wide, I think, particularly in the United States and maybe some other Western countries and Europe, have slowed down in that regard. We also have seen an increase globally in some smaller countries, less likely countries that you wouldn't think about, and countries in the continent of Africa that where it's grown. But that's my perception. I others may have a different view.
No, and I can confirm that also for Europe, what you are saying, I see that in my discussion with colleagues, friends, and in the CX field in Europe, it's always a battle to make understandable to the C-suite why we are here, what we are doing, and so on. And what I see is also, we know that in the USA, you have big inflation, corporates are struggling, but also in Europe, we have a similar situation where now costs are again extremely important. And I see that the first place where companies are looking at where to save money is in the CX departments. And therefore, I really see this problem. What do you see as the underlying cause?
Yeah, I think there's a number of different things that happen. Part of it goes back to what I was sharing before about kind of being the new kid on the block, so to speak. The last in, first out concept never really got roots in the organization. And there's a number of reasons for that. I think when a CEO isn't fully committed to CX, you don't know that initially. You don't know. You only really find out commitment and you don't find that out until there's sacrifice. When there's sacrifice required, something else you value that you have to give up in order to do something else. That shows me a level of commitment. And you don't find that out right away. And now when the headwinds are coming, you get more of a test to see where they are. So there might be a glass ceiling on how high you can raise the discipline of CX within an organization based on that. On the other hand, I will say that from my experience, let's make sure we don't blame it unnecessarily on the CEO or the C-suite. Maybe we haven't done our job. And from my perspective, there is room for most CX professionals. After all, we are doing so many different things. We wear so many different hats, from voice of the customer to, I mean, we're salespeople, we're selling through influence, and we are mathematicians one day, we're accountants the next, we're researchers the next. You're trying to make decisions from a senior management position. So nobody really comes to the job with all of those different skill sets. So we're having to learn. And the least of which I didn't even mention, which is, you know, financial analysis. And so what we hear a lot of is on that point is, well, CX leaders haven't proven the point, haven't proven the ROI of CX. It's one of the most common reasons given for failure of programs. And I would say that it's critical for CX leaders to get sharper at understanding ROI and how to communicate, not specifically the numbers. In the course I teach, we have net revenue retention and statistical inference, net promoter score, different models moving to a lower cost channel. Those are all important to know, right? But proving the value of CX is bigger than that. It's you having a CX roadmap. It's you establishing relationships with key stakeholders that require a long-term view, a strategic approach. And so they haven't earned trust. They choose to be the hero too often. And they, meaning me too, as a CX leader, I've made all these mistakes. And then not having this roadmap and then not being able to demonstrate the value in a way that the C-suite cares about interpreting data.
Yes, and perhaps if you allow me to share also another view on that. What you said, I fully agree, but I state it normally in a bit different way. Because I see these CX teams, and let's be honest, brutal honest, 3, 4, 5 people for a company of 2,000 people. And they start saying, we are responsible, as you said, for voice of the customer. We are responsible for employee experiences and therefore trying to work together with HR. We are responsible for process management because we need to align processes and experiences together and ensure that customers see, feels, and so on, everything what the company is doing. We need to be part of the financial discussion. And therefore, I think the CX professional is trying to too many hats. It's not the CFO. The team are not the CFO. They are not HR and so on. They are not marketing and so on. And these are established discipline, as you said, which started 10, 15 years ago, but they were always there. And instead of trying to do a bit of everything, as you said, focusing on which value I'm delivering with a clear roadmap, what I can do, and so on. I think this will be the key in future. And what's your view? Why is that such a big deal, everything what we discussed?
Well, it's a big deal because if you don't earn the trust, and we talked about some of the ways to do that, then what you're going to see is a pullback from the C-suite, starting with the CEO, of energy resources. And sometimes it starts off very subtly. You don't get invited to the same meetings. Your time is shared. Instead of, you know, being solo, you get to present the CX story or the state of CX, all these ways. So it puts the whole program in jeopardy if you don't. So it's a big deal.
Yes, I fully agree. This is a big topic. You said that earning trust, you shared some insights. Could you please give some more? I know people should join your masterclass, but at least an idea of how to tackle that.
Yeah, so even just to frame out like what you and I were just talking about, and we talked about key stakeholders, right? Because even if the CEO is busy person, they are involved in so many things that we're not even aware of, right? Reputational risks and mergers and acquisitions, things like that. We don't even know what's going on. So for a moment that we're not prioritized, I know I was pretty impatient. This idea of building relationships with key stakeholders is critical because they're going to watch their lieutenants and their sergeants and see if there's a trust level that they have with you. And if they're singing your praises, you know, that they look in all directions. So that's really, really important. This idea of trust is important. We mentioned before, you mentioned 3 or 4. I had a department of 2 and we had 1,300 employees, you know, at the bank I was at. And that's not uncommon. Some places only have 1. And so we have small budgets, we have limited size departments, and we have almost no positional authority. So we have to get what needs to get done through influence. And that rhymes with trust. And so that's not also something that CX leaders often study. They do in my course, both at Michigan State, because it's a customer relationship management course. So we start off with what can you as a CX leader do to earn the trust of the stakeholders, and then, you know, understand corporate trust and what brands can do to become more trustworthy along the way. The model we use, and you know, we probably don't have enough time to dig into it deeply, is based on the Trusted Advisor book, and it's the trust equation that was in the original book 20 years ago. And it uses 4 factors: credibility, that is, you know, am I honest? Do I believe that you are who you say you are? It's the white medical jacket, you work at a hospital, you know, I've got some instant credibility there. Then reliability is simply, do I keep my promises? Does a brand follow through on what it says it's going to do? And then those two are sort of on the logical, rational side of the brain. The other two are a little bit more emotional on that side, irrational, emotional side. And what they call them is intimacy, which really has to do with safety, psychological safety. Can I trust you in the sense of, can you keep a secret? Are you a vault? Are you empathetic in a way that I can share this with you and you'll know whether to cry or whether to laugh? You're a safe haven for these difficult conversations I might want to have. And those three, credibility, reliability, and intimacy, are in this equation as a numerator, all over the denominator, which is self-orientation. Self-orientation is a matter of focus. Am I focused on me and my needs and my particular state of mind, or am I focused on you as that stakeholder that I want to develop a relationship with? And it's in the denominator. Initially, the crafters of this, the three authors of the Trusted Advisor book, thought that it would be way more, in fact, based on the math, simple math, three times more powerful, right? Because denominator, and it's in the denominator because it's inverse, has an inverse relationship with trustworthiness, which is really what we're solving for, not trust, but trustworthiness, the person who wants to be trusted. And so self-orientation, turns out intimacy is the number one highest correlated to trustworthiness, just a little bit ahead of self-orientation. But self-orientation, you think of the used car salesman as someone, you know, immediately of low trust, right? If you think of someone, at least in the United States, if you think about a typical used car salesman. But it's more than that. It's, am I focused on what I'm going to say next? Am I focused on my clothing, my appearance? Am I so nervous that I can't focus on you? So this idea of being fully present and asking you questions out of like curiosity,
yes,
right? So we in the course, we talk about practical applications, and they do an assessment and they see which one they score lowest on, and we develop strategies together. But to me, this is one of the reasons why just proving the value isn't enough. You know, Gerald Zaltman, a Harvard professor, did a study of people and the decisions they made. It was around buying decisions, but it works the same for accepting proposals from CX leaders. And that is 95% of our decisions are subconscious and they happen emotionally. And so if that's true, then I could have the most compelling business paper on the ROI of CX or whatever kind of model I want to use. And you're going to say, I don't like them. I don't trust them. I don't know them. These numbers are bogus. And so that's why the underlying idea of trust is so critical, in my opinion.
I think not only in your opinion, but it's really key and it's really important. Now what we did is something like a self-assessment. We said we are really motivated. We want to achieve something. We want to drive CX, but other people don't really understand us. And we know that CX is an extremely important discipline in companies, in particular for the long-term relationship for the customer and for the long-term survival of a company. Related to this topic, what are the CX leader responsibility and what part is senior management responsibility?
Yeah, I think there is, the CX leader has a lot of responsibility. And we talked about wearing all these different hats, but the truth is earning trust means not only having an awareness of your own emotional intelligence and where your own shortcomings are when it comes to building trust in those four variables, for example, that I shared, but also understanding deeply what your stakeholders' problems are. And if you're developing a stakeholder landscape map, then you should think about who your key stakeholders are. And those evolve, those change all the time. And what problems, like, what external problems, what internal problems, what philosophical problems they have, and what is the villain that they're trying to battle against each and every day. That's a strategic approach to building what Cotter calls a guiding coalition. You can't do it by yourself. So building this group of people that's going to help you push this rock up the mountain, you need to understand who they are. And that's, to me, your biggest responsibility. I really believe, yes, there are technical things that we learn. You and I learn them along the way. All the VOC stuff, the metrics. But what's really critical is to understand other people and what their goals are, and then try and have a conversation that's speaking their language. And I talk about this in the course, is that be the guide, don't be the hero. That's a big mistake that we made. Every story has a hero, a guide, a victim, and a villain. And, you know, they don't want another hero, but they might be open to a guide who is willing to understand, listen deeply to them, and then connect the dots for them to help them achieve their goals.
And in particular, at least at the beginning of these CX journeys, make the others or making the others the heroes will help you to create this trust and also to get in discussion with other people within the company, helping them achieving their result.
So Greg, I didn't do a good job of answering the second part of your question, which is senior management. And I think, you know, the senior management, first of all, we can't control other people, number one. But we can have conversations and try our best to get to know them and get be curious about what their issues are, their underlying issues, what their philosophical concern. And that's their responsibility is simply if we work for a part of the same organization to have a conversation. I mean, that's all. But relying, you know, expecting other people to change is, you know, kind of the definition of insanity. So what we control, what we need to focus on is what we can't control.
I fully agree. I think this is extremely, extremely important. And now we are discussing about your masterclass. And I want to be really honest. I don't have any referral fees, nothing. I want only to help Mark because I am sure you can learn, people can learn something from Mark's masterclass. And therefore, I would really like to understand, how do you believe six leaders can get executive buy-in and make a real change?
Well, thank you, Greg. I think I pointed out some of the things that caused issues, right? They haven't earned the trust of the stakeholders. They act like the hero instead of the guide. They don't have a plan and they haven't proven the ROI of CX. So the course I built addresses all four of those things. And it's the one I wish I had when I was a CX leader. That's what I took. It's for those people who already got the fundamentals down and now they're at the point of making change. I heard the example one time of two professionals and someone learning how to fly a plane. And the beginner learns how to get from point A to point B, but the more senior pilot learns how to get from point A to point B going through a bad storm. And that's what this course is really in a lot of ways. It's getting through the storm. It's understanding how to earn trust. We talked about the assessment there. It's understanding what it means to get a deeper understanding and build out a landscape of your key stakeholders and how to get to know them better. It's then building out a roadmap of the current state, the future state, and then identifying gaps and then prioritizing and putting that into a plan. And then lastly, as we look at five return on investment, ROI models of CX with calculators and so forth. And so if you're someone who is interested and struggling with executive buy-in and feel like your CX program is stalled or just love learning more, we've had now five MSU master's students come through, a bunch of CCXPs, some board members of CXP. Love to have you join. And one of the things they say they love most about it is networking with each other and having the ability to have sounding board to share some real business issues they have off of other people.
And you have also my recommendation to join your masterclass because I'm quite sure that everybody can learn something and it's really incredible to be part of this customer experience community to get to know each other and to get to share ideas. I'm super sorry, but we are coming to an end of this discussion. I still have three questions in the extra time, the last 3 minutes of this discussion. Fast forward in 10 years from now, we are back on the CX Goalkeeper podcast. What we are discussing about?
Well, I say first, by the grace of God, that I'm still alive 10 years from now. I think we'll be talking about, we'll be saying things like the more things change, the more things stay the same. And I think some experiences will be entirely transformed as dramatically as going from videotapes to online streaming. But the need for human connection will still be the same as it always was. And I think we'll go through this period where we're getting more and more depraved and more isolated, as we're seeing already with technology and data. And then people will yearn for the good old days when we had human connection. And that will need to start with the customer having, you know, CX leaders will need to get smarter and smarter about ways to have that human connection in a world that's going to be more and more filled with technology. And if go ahead, I'll just stop there.
Technology is a discussion for the next podcast and next episode, but therefore I'm super happy to have you back, not in 10 years, but in a few months. What's the best way to contact you?
Best way to contact me is on LinkedIn, Mark Slaytin, S-L-A-T-I-N, or visit the website Empowered, with an ED at the end, empoweredcx.com.
Thank you very much. And now we are coming to the last question. It's Mark's golden nugget. It's something that we discussed or something new to leave to the audience.
I think I shared this story of the guide and the hero at a dinner we had, and the person on the other side of the table said she got the chills. She had goosebumps on her arm. And it had that same kind of effect on me, this idea of us wanting to be the hero. There's a whole bunch of reasons for it. Part of it is that we don't have a rooted department in every organization. So there's maybe some reasonable insecurities that we have. And so we try to be the smartest person in the room, or we try to be the subject matter expert. And the reality is they're not looking for another hero, but they might be open to a guide that can help them achieve their goals.
Thank you very much. And my golden nugget is please join Mark's masterclass, because you will learn something about it. And give us also feedback. Now we are coming to an end. Thank you very much, Mark, for your time.
Thanks so much again for having me on the show, Greg. It was so much fun.
It was a great pleasure, and I hope that the audience enjoyed this discussion as much as I did. Please share with us your feedback. We love feedback. Thank you very much, and bye-bye. If you enjoyed this episode, please share the word of mouth. Subscribe it, share it. Until the next episode, please don't forget, we are not in a B2B or B2C business, we are in a human-to-human environment. Thank you!